Martinez Live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to talk immigration here with the founder of History Speaks Today. It's a project dedicated to sharing elemental truths learned from accomplishments and failures of those in our past to help us avoid making the same mistakes again and yet again. Bruce Thatcher joins us now. Bruce, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine, Bill, and I'm still having some of the euphoria of D-Day on this D+1.
You're reading my mind.
Yeah. Yesterday we remembered D-Day in Normandy, and you know, seeing those images of thousands of Americans invading to win freedom for the people in Hitler's Europe was certainly a moving experience. But even as I watched them, I couldn't help but juxtapose the images of thousands of people invading America at our southern border.
Exactly.
Only this time, we're the defenders, and we're losing. You know, I saw reports in the last day or two that 150 or 175,000 of these people, these invaders, were taken into custody, captured by our border agents last month. And what an astounding achievement, but wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's what the invaders wanted.
Yeah, what does it take to do that? You know, what people are not quite understanding here, Bruce, is they think that includes the people coming through the regular 48 legal points of entry. These are people outside of that. So not only are they being overwhelmed at the legal ports of entry, let's throw in another 140,000 illegals breaking the law, putting even more pressure on the limited resources that we have. Thank you very much, Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Well, we're having this problem because our laws make it so. And that's not Trump's fault. He's doing everything in his power, I believe, to protect our borders.
Well, he's tried everything, Bruce. Every time he does something, if it's not the Democrats, it's an activist judge that is blocking the way. I mean, which is amazing, because we've got the president of the United States, the chief executive officer of the country, being stifled by a partisan judge. I mean, there is just something wrong about the system on many levels. The immigration system, of course, which everybody says is broken, but we've been hearing this over and over again. So when are you doggone knuckleheads going to fix it?
Well, the judges and the judges that are creating the problem or participating in the problem are very partisan. They are subscribers to an ideology that is not supported by our laws. But we have a system that lets them impose their will, or at least impede actions that might solve the problem from our point of view.
Well, Bruce, you bring up a good point. Let me hold to this moment here, because I think you hit on something that's really key here, and we've been saying this quite often on this show as well, is that we have foregone the basics. We're untethered from the law and our Constitution. This is why we are in a state of confusion, because you have a portion of the country, let's just say half of the country for the sake of simple math here, that believes in the Constitution and is delusioned to think that it's still in effect. The other half has blown it up. I mean, they have followed the lead of the previous administration that said that they were going to fundamentally change America. Fundamentally changing America required an absolute obliteration of the Constitution. And so those progressives are marching down the field, lockstep, and they're pretty darn close to doing this, and with the activist judges, with a very toxic legislature right now that is not interested in doing the work of the people. They're interested in their own personal agenda, an elitism, a globalism that says, look at the minions of America know no better, and thank God that we're here to save them.
We have the opportunity, I think, to at least mitigate that problem a little bit by changing those judges as they retire or leave the bench, with appointed judges that are more likely to see the Constitution as their guiding star.
Exactly.
That takes time. I think that this administration has made progress on that with the appointment of so many judges that are more aligned to the reading of the Constitution, but it's going to take a long way. Now, any judge's ruling, of course, can be appealed and appealed and appealed, and that takes time, and that time is what allows this problem of immigration to just continue and to continue. And there's only Congress can fix it. We can't end the situation. We can't end this invasion with walls or thousands more border agents. Those might help, but what we really need is just 515 people to do their job.
Right, exactly. Well, and this is why the voters, with an election coming up, need to, you know, make sure they take names and they take notes and they know who they're voting for. Because even if you are on the left side of, a political philosophy, if your belief still is that it needs to be conducted within the reason and the definition of the Constitution, you have to look to see who you're electing. Are you bringing people in that add or take away from the foundational principles laid out in the Constitution? And if you have a bunch of activists and a bunch of people that are looking to obliterate the Constitution, you're going to have additional confusion. We're not going to take care of the roads, the infrastructure. We're not going to take care of immigration. We're not going to take care of health care. We can look forward to another 4 years of this last experience, this experience that we're having right now, where Congress is doing everything to block it. And then also throw into the mix here, Bruce, the mainstream media that has been no help. And they're feeling the pain because people are not subscribing to their publications anymore. They're seeing them for what they are. They're a propaganda arm of one party. This wouldn't work. Even if they were a propaganda arm for the Republican Party, it wouldn't work. We need an impartial media to call the balls and strikes, to do their job, and they've abandoned their position. They're AWOL right now, and they're on a long road to recovery, and they don't even know it because they have to recapture the credibility and the faith of the American people, because the American people are losing faith in a critical, critical arm of our government operation, which is a free press.
I think that both with the press and with the representatives and senators, citizens can do a lot in an absolutely nonpartisan way to help straighten up the problem. I wish every U.S. representative and senator would dread talking to reporters or to constituents. Because they know that they're going to be asked about immigration and the border and whether they individually, specifically, accept responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a partisan question.
Exactly.
And then what they're going to do to fix it. I wish they knew that they were going to have to answer that question every time a reporter or a constituent faced them. If they did that, I think we'd begin to get a little bit more attention and reasonable change on it.
And Bruce, what you're talking about here is nonpartisan. I mean, or it's bipartisan, or it's, you know, as I've said before, this isn't a Republican thing or a Democratic. This is a United States of America thing. I mean, people have to understand we're all wearing the home jerseys here, and this is what D-Day. You know, remembering D-Day, the 75th anniversary of it, boy, I think brought, at least to my mind again, the consideration and gratitude of this legacy that we have here in America, this cherished legacy. And it's up to us to pass it on to the next generation, is it not?
It is up to us, and I fear that there's declining sensitivity to that.
Well, we've got more to talk with Bruce Thatcher about, the founder of History Speaks Today. Bruce, of course, has written three books, very powerful books, starting out with Adamant Aggressors, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. Whew, I'm telling you, he goes back into history and breaks it down, all the different empires over the years in history, the mistakes, the successes they made. And boy, you're going to see a lot of America in it, today's America in that, and rise and decline. And we've got more from Bruce Thatcher on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. It's just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour. Hey, we're back with you, America. Hey, what did you think about the Trumps? Boy, the way they carried themselves and represented America in London and the UK with the Queen and, you know, the whole D-Day anniversary was just absolutely astounding. The First Lady's just stunning. I don't know. What else can you say, Bruce?
It was so spectacular, mm-hmm. so absolutely strong that even traditional Trump haters many of them had to say, wow, this really mm-hmm. was pretty good.
Right. Well, I love that the 93-year-old D-Day vet flirting with Melania.
Why not?
Hey, if I'm 20 years younger, and maybe a little bit more than that, but he was ready to go for 20. He was going to take Trump on for the challenge.
D-Day folks absolutely were a bit audacious. Remember the picture of the sailor grabbing somebody on Times Square.
Right, exactly. Hey, did you see, speaking of which, that meme somebody had sent out, a meme of that infamous picture in Times Square, right? And there was this modern-day version of it. In the background was Joe Biden hugging a gal and sniffing her hair in the background.
I didn't see the meme, but I can picture it.
Oh my, it's just incredible. Well, ladies and gentlemen, hey, back to some serious business here. Bruce Thatcher is with us as we continue to talk about the immigration crisis. And something new that people aren't looking at very closely, Bruce, and you brought this up. The Wall Street Journal editorial reported on this last week, and that was America's millennial baby bust. Break that down for our audience.
Well, what the editorial dealt with, and I read it with particular interest as regards immigration, even though it didn't even mention immigration, but it pointed out that the birth rate in the United States is at a 32-year low, their words. Actually, the fertility rate's been below replacement level of our population, which is 2.1 births per woman during mm-hmm. lifetime, and it's been below that level since 1972, except for a couple of years. And what that means, among other things, all other things being equal, is that over several decades, U.S. population will peak and begin to decline. Mm-hmm. And what that means, economists will tell you, is that many of the fiscal and standard of living things that we enjoy, most especially, for instance, Social Security and Medicare, mm-hmm. are going to be seriously harmed.
Here we are running out of other people's money, right?
Oh, you got it right mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. Now, I point out in immigration that one of the three key guidelines for a successful immigration policy is to have a clearly defined national interest that you want immigration to support. We don't have that today. That's all muddied. Mm-hmm. But as I read this, it became clear to me, or it jumped out to me, that immigration is needed, absolutely essential, to compensate for the declining birth rate in this country.
Well, not to mention, and I know people are going to wince a little bit here on this, because now we're coming back full circle. By the way, 61 million babies have been eliminated since Roe v. Wade.
Oh, yeah.
So let's bring that into the mix, as analysts have pointed out before, but of course the mainstream media doesn't want to report on it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a generation labor force, 61 million people that are gone.
That is. Okay? And if look at the support, just focus on Social Security, for instance. In 1945, we had almost 42 workers paying into Social Security for every retiree receiving benefits, almost 45. Mm-hmm. By 8 or 9 years ago, there were only, by 2010, there were only 2.9 workers per
wow.
retiree. Now, this is supposedly a pay-as-you-go system, and if you stop having people paying in enough to support the payouts to Social Security, there's going to be serious problems mm-hmm. with it. I have read that when the program was stable, that it was going to require more than three workers per beneficiary. So we're already in trouble, and we're hearing and seeing actuarials that say, in a relatively few years, within a generation, Social Security will not be able to pay from its trust fund.
Mm. No, this is crazy stuff, and I've been waiting, Bruce. I keep saying on the show, is that when do you have an attorney on in the interest of millennials coming in? Basically, the government has forced them into a Ponzi scheme here.
Well, it is a Ponzi. Anybody else running that scheme would be arrested and thrown in prison.
Yeah, Bernie Madoff is going. Hey, wait, hello, hey, I'm in jail here, and your government's doing this, upon the people of America, and you give me a bad time.
I have my daughter tells me on a number of occasions that she believes that she will never collect any Social Security because of all these conditions, and I respond to her, "Oh yeah, the politicians will never kill Social Security. All they'll do is raise our taxes sufficiently to pay for it."
Right. And meanwhile, they're arguing. At least the Democrats are arguing. They want to raise, right?
They want to raise. Yeah.
I mean, for all the obstructionism and everything they've done, we deserve more money.
Let me get back to these 515 people.
Right. Exactly.
The most elite of the elite. Well, we're going to have to do something to fix to solve the population process, and that won't the declining birth rate will not end. There's nothing we can do to turn that around because all across history we can see as societies become better educated and more affluent, the birth rate goes down. And that's going to be the case. So the only answer to it I can see is we have to have immigration to compensate for the problem, but not just numbers.
Right.
If all we needed was numbers, all we need to do is open the border and let all these people in.
Oh, funny you should say that.
Yeah.
Right. No, and this is why Donald Trump has been using the term. It has to be merit based.
Well, that's what I got to on this sort of thought process. The births that are not happening in this country would result in a different mix of workers contributing to the economy than the immigrants that are now coming into this country. What we need to do is the bulk of the immigrants coming into this country, because of the way our system is set up, are people who will enter the labor force at the lower levels of contribution. Relate that to Social Security, and that means that their contributions to Social Security are going to be smaller. What we need are engineers and scientists and higher income type people, and these are the people who are not happening because of the declining birth rate. So seems to me what that means is the immigration system ought to be constructed so that the immigrants coming in are immigrants who will immediately replace those higher skilled, higher paid people that we're not getting as a result of declining births. Is that complicated enough?
Well, no. Well, some of this stuff is so reasonable and commonsensical that it's just insane that it seems to elude any kind of effective system. Because even like Bruce, we got people that come here, go to college, we teach them, we train them, and we're able to see, wow, this is a quality individual. And what do? We send them back home.
Yeah.
It's like, how does that make sense?
We won't let them stay. Right. I mean, just one example of the counterproductive and contradictory elements of our existing immigration law. We need to change it so desperately. We need to change it, and Congress won't do anything. Back to the 515.
What is driving this, Bruce? I mean, obviously America needs employees, and I have maintained, in fact, I shared this with you years ago, and I'm surprised that this has not come up yet. I don't know why the government of Mexico does not lease the employees to America. You know, just and at that point, if they're leasing the employees to American businesses, they see that as an asset. They're going to make sure that they, you know, there's body counts. There's, you know, some meritorious or merit-based systems and quotients that come into play because they're going to manage this because, hey, look, we'll lease the employee, the labor force to you. We'll cover their education. We'll cover their medical expenses. Instead of having them come in and say, okay, well, American businesses or the American people will pay for it, you know, because this isn't, you know, this isn't fair. It's not just, but I think it's reasonable, you know, to handle it this way. Then at that point, it has, it puts pressure on the other side of the border to where the Mexican government starts wanting to see who comes through that border. It's in their interest as much as it is ours.
My guess is that if that proposition were seriously put to the Mexican government, it would be received with a fair amount of enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. So the question is, why won't that suggestion be put to them? And, you know, now my cynicism comes through because those workers would not become Democrat voters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you know, I'm sorry to be so partisan about it, but it absolutely isn't just the Democrats. It's it's Congress as a whole.
Right. Well, the people are about fed up with this, and you know, we'll see what happens in the 2020. Maybe this is the breaking point. Maybe the 75th anniversary of D-Day is reminding people of the rich legacy and how we can best honor those that paid the ultimate price for the freedoms we enjoy. Bruce Thatcher, I'm Bill Martinez live. Bruce, where can they be in touch with you?
Contacting me at historyspeakstoday.com.